You know, I love having entrepreneurs that come on the show, especially entrepreneurs that have retired after years of dedicated service in law enforcement, like my next guest, Brian Selzer. He is currently the CEO and founder of Lefta Systems. Lefta Systems is a software company focused on the development of web-based applications that empower law enforcement and other first responders to maximize effectiveness. You do not want to miss this great and informative interview with Brian Selzer, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here, host and creator of the top-ranked Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much. I know you got many options out there, but thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. If you love the show, subscribe to the show and continue to share it with your family and friends. We sure would appreciate it. And lastly, give us that 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out and thanks to the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, whatever you were at. Thank you for doing it. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. Folks, if you love coffee, and I know a lot of you do, you're in the criminal justice field, you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. I'm a huge fan of this company, and I have been for many years. I love the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee, and I bet you will too. They have coffees, elixirs, cocos. I love all their products. If you head over to cjevolution.com, you're going to see the link to Four Sigmatic, and best of all, you're going to get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. Enjoy.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337. 800-296-1337.
This is a national healthcare alert from the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one has diabetes, listen closely. Now, regardless of your age, if you have insurance, you may qualify to receive diabetic testing supplies with little to no out-of-pocket cost. Get free delivery, free information, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers for free. Call the 24/7 Diabetic Health Hotline now for details. Toll free at this number. But wait, there's more. If you call right now, you could get a meter upgrade. In addition, we'll give you a free pair of diabetic socks as our special gift to you. Regardless of your age, if you suffer with diabetes and have insurance, you may qualify to get free delivery of your supplies.
800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. 800-443-1549. That's 800-443-1549.
On to the show with the one and only Brian Selzer. Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show. Super excited. His name is Brian Selzer. Now, he is a retired law enforcement officer of about 20 years, and he is also the CEO and founder of an amazing company called Lefta Systems, which he's going to talk about as we progress. Brian, are you there, brother?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you?
Oh, man, you call me sir, and I look around for my dad. I'm like, where's... Thank you for being here, Brian. I know you're very, very busy, executive. And I ask all law enforcement, I ask military, too, that come on the show. I always ask them the same thing. I'm going to ask you the same thing. What made you get into law enforcement?
Well, you know how some people say destiny. I guess I'm the American dream. I actually was born and raised in Germany. Wow. And I don't remember the first time I wanted to be a police officer, but my mom actually told me when I was 8 years old, I told her I'm going to go to America and become a sheriff. And sure enough, wow. 20 years later, I ended up being a deputy for a law enforcement agency in Florida. So I think it was just innate in me. I do have some relatives in Germany that are with a police force there. But it's the best job in the world. I was very blessed and fortunate to have the opportunity to serve. And I would do it all over again.
Wow. And so how did you get from, I mean, obviously you traveled over here, but did you wait until you were like a certain age, or did you, you know, from Germany to the United States or what?
Yeah, no, actually it was, I think Top Gun caused me to do it, but I came over as an exchange student.
They got another one coming out, the sequel.
Yeah, high school exchange student.
Wow.
In 85. Yep. And went to college afterwards and stayed here.
Wow.
Yep.
Now you, and thank you for your service, Brian. Thank you so Thanks. Much for your service, brother. I mean, it's a difficult job, understatement. You see all that's going on, you know, the current environment in law enforcement, and not everywhere, but, you know, in a lot of places. But I mean, where do you think we're heading with all this, you know, with law enforcement? And that's kind of a broad question, but you spent a lot of time in law enforcement. You're educated guy. I mean, you've been around. I mean, where do you think we're going with all this stuff, the defund and all this other stuff?
Man, I tell you what, as I told you before, I had the, you know, when you work for one agency in one state in one locale, you it's kind of the only thing you know, right? Mm-hmm. But because of my business and selling, all of my clients are law enforcement, and I've talked to officers in all states. Mm-hmm. So you hear different things, right? You know, hear what different things that are going on. You know, issues they have, you know, agencies have trying to find anybody wanting to be a police officer and being able to really qualify to be one. One of the jokes is that one of my clients told me, it used to be when you and I joined law enforcement, the question was, hey, have you done any drugs in the last 5 years? And nowadays when they interview somebody, it's, hey, have you done anything today? Because otherwise they can't find anybody, right? So I think everything just kind of changes, but I think a lot of that, I think the perception of law enforcement is going in the wrong direction, and I 100% blame the media for that.
Yeah, agreed.
Because, you know, as we all know, what sells is bad news. Nobody wants to hear good news. You turn the news on and it's bad. So you hear about those isolated incidences when somebody unfortunately got killed. And at times, yes, it's the officer did something wrong. But overall, the perception is that cops are not good people anymore. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, back in the mid-90s when I got into law enforcement, if we went to court, a judge just believed what you said because you're an officer. And nowadays, unless you have DNA to prove that something happened, you know, it could be anybody's gamble on who's going to win something. So I think it's just the perception of law enforcement. And I think we're being too quiet, not kind of challenging what we hear out in the media. So perception is everything.
Yeah. And I agree with you about the media, but I go a step further and, you know, some politicians. I mean, it used to be, Brian, and we're pretty much the same age. I remember, you know, law enforcement, it's always been scrutinized and rightfully so. I mean, officers have a lot of power. I mean, a lot of power, you know that. But I remember there was a point in history, seemed like a while, where, you know, you might disagree, people might disagree with law enforcement, but it was pretty much, you know, it was off limits. I mean, politicians never talked about getting rid of cops and stuff like that. Now it's just like a free for all. So, but I agree with you. I think media is a lot to blame, but I also think politicians from both sides are to blame, you know, because they're the ones that are stoking the flames with this. Media, again, is exact, in my opinion, like you said, the bigger culprit, but it doesn't help when politicians are saying this stuff too.
Correct. Yeah. And I think it's just just, you know, George Floyd, obviously very, very bad thing that happened there. But I think at times politicians jump on a bandwagon real quick, especially about, you know, defunding police. What does defunding police really mean? And apparently now when you read the news, the Democrats, you know, are kind of upset or trying to figure out, wait a minute, we were supposed to win a lot more races nationally that we have. What happened?
Well, gee, I wonder why.
Yeah, and now a lot of them do blame. It's because they jumped on that, hey, get rid of cops type of thing. And the average person does not want to get rid of cops because they know, hey, I'm safe because cops are out there. But you're right. You know, it varies by locale. You know, some states are more extreme with defunding police, getting rid of police. And it remains to be seen. It's going to be an interesting 2021, I suppose, because, you know, new administration, who knows what's going to happen with reforms. A lot of stuff is being talked about. Is it going to happen? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so much is up in the air. And, of course, you know, we don't, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I guess, you know, there's people that think there's finality with the election. There's other people who think it's not over yet. So, I mean, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But yeah. What do you think some of the challenges in the future, brother? I think we scratched the surface with that. But going forward, you know, again, I know it's a broad question, but again, you did it a long time. I mean, it's a different world, brother, in law enforcement than when you and I got into it. I mean, it's the same kind of job, theft is theft. I get it. But it is a completely different job as far as policing what cops. I mean, I think a lot of cops are just afraid to do anything out there now.
Correct.
What do you think some of the challenges are going to be going forward?
You know, whenever you have to do any kind of job, I think it's important for a person to know that they're being backed by their bosses, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's command staff in a police department. If I go out there and I do the best that I can as an officer, I want to make sure that my chain of command is going to back me up.
Exactly.
Now, if I mess up, I mess up. But if I do my job and I follow the policies and I follow state laws, you know, help me out, you know, because if that doesn't happen, as soon as it doesn't happen, you're going to have officers that, like you said, they're going to be afraid to do anything. I'm not going to pull. Why would I pull a car over? What if that car runs through a pursuit? I'm going to get in trouble. I have family. You know, now they're talking about, you know, qualified immunity where they're going to come after my house. I mean, I'm doing my job. I'm trying to protect the public. But if I do that, so that's going to be a big challenge, right? It used to be when you and I, this was the only thing we wanted to do. We wanted to be cops, you know, the rest of our lives. And now I've noticed it before I retired. You know, you have new officers 2 years down the road. They said, yeah, you know, I changed my mind. I'll sell insurance. That's a whole different mindset. You know, and now you have this mass exodus with people leaving because of all the stuff that's going on. So you're losing tons of experience. You know, some agencies, particularly some units like homicide detectives that have 20, 30 years of experience, and you're losing that. And now you got people in there with 3 years experience trying to clear homicides. And that's because what's going on out there. And, you know, you just have to feel you're being backed in doing your job. If you don't feel like you're being backed, why do it?
And I talk to a lot of cops as you do, sir. And that has got to be up there in the top three, where that the perception, and perception is reality most of the time. Yes, the officers do not feel like they're backed by their administration, you know, and it's horrible. And I don't know, Brian. I talk to a lot of people, as do you, and I could probably count on one hand how many people I talk to that are going to stay in law enforcement. The rest are looking for an exit ramp. Correct. They're looking for the first opportunity they get to get off the highway. And it's sad. I mean, the attrition rates, as you indicated, are through the roof. And it doesn't have to be that way. This is still a very great profession. And thank God we still have brave men and women who are getting into it. But Absolutely. It's crazy. I mean, it is just a crazy world. So if somebody came to you, Brian, and said, hey, man, Brian, I want your advice. You did it for a long time. You're successful. You know, what advice would you give for somebody who wanted to get into law enforcement right now?
They got to be 100% committed. I mean, if you're not sure, this is not your profession. You also have to be, you have to have thick skin. Being out there, you know, at times, you know, people calling your names and it's, hey, it's a free country, right? You can call a police officer, anything you want to. You know, there are some countries where you actually get a ticket for calling officer, you know, certain names. Mm-hmm. Not here. You can pretty much do anything you want to, right? So you have to have thick skin. You have to, you know, there's just a certain people I think it's just in their DNA. Those are the ones that join the military. They want to serve. There's just some people that want to serve. And I think a true police officer, whether you want to serve as a police officer or as military, firefighter, those are people that want to serve. It's just in their DNA. I don't think that it's definitely not for everybody. You have to have that certain personality to do that. And if you have that, it's still a great job out there. It's just changed a lot. I love the job. I'm not sure if I would be young again, if I would do it in this current climate, but you also got to play. Rules change, just like in a game, all of a sudden, football, they have new rules now, and you just have to adapt. When I started, we didn't have laptops in the car.
No.
We brought everything by paper, right?
It was a hand.
Yeah. We didn't have a taser when I started. We didn't have all that stuff, right? We didn't have body cameras. But now I know some officers are hesitant. They're worried about body cameras. But to be honest, I would not want to go out there without one.
I agree 100%.
Because if I do the right thing, please film me. Film me all day long. Have a drone over me. Film me. I don't have a problem with that. Now the ones that are doing the wrong thing, hey, you need to find another job.
Yeah.
But I have no problem, because anything you do right now is being filmed. I mean, you stop somebody, there's people already with the phone filming because you pull somebody over for running a red light.
Yeah.
So that's just the environment that you and I, we never were in that environment, but new ones are. And I guess if you start the profession already knowing that, that's one thing. But if you're used to one and now it just switches 180 degrees, it would be just tough.
Yeah. And I love what you said. I mean, great advice. You really know what you're getting into. And I love what you said about body cameras. I've seen more officers get cleared because there was an accusation made against them. Maybe they were maybe it was a male officer taking a female detainee or a prisoner to jail, and there's an accusation. You know what I mean? There's an accusation of impropriety or whatever. And the body cam says otherwise. So I remember when we got body cams initially, people were like, oh, screw this. This is a bunch of bullshit. You know how cops are.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, it just becomes the norm. And most cops don't, at least the cops I know, they don't have, because they know that body camera is probably going to, probably save them from an accusation or clear them from a use of force or whatever.
Absolutely.
Down the road.
I agree.
But I couldn't, I love what you said. I know you got to be prepared. I mean, it always amazed me. We had a couple officers, Brian, I don't know if you experienced this where you were at, but we had officers that would get hired, go through the process, which is, very lengthy. Very cumbersome. They get to the process and it wasn't a lot of them, but two of them that are really standing out right now, they start their FTO program and they quit.
Yep.
It's why in the hell would you go through all that shit to be better prepared? Like you said, know what you're getting into, be dedicated, to do your research. We live in this day and age now where information is at our fingertips. Research the agency. It used to crack me up when I would
absolutely
be in charge of oral boards and somebody would come in and the question is coming. What do you know about this police agency? You got a phone in front of you that you didn't bother, doing some research and demographics and shit like that. But I agree with you, brother. I mean, it is such a tough environment and you just got to be prepared. Know what you're getting into. It's not what it is on TV or the movies.
Correct. And let me ask you this, in your state, maybe it's an agency thing. We had something, it's called a ride-along program.
Yeah.
So as a citizen, you could do a ride-along. Yeah. And I when I got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice, did an internship, and I actually chose to do it with my police department that I ended up working for, because it allowed me to be exposed to get to know officers in that department, to do ride-along several times, and that
absolutely
hooked me even more. But you're right. You have to be prepared. You have to do your homework. You have to hey, you know what? This agency has a good reputation. There hasn't been anything bad going on. We don't read anything bad about their command staff. And hey, I did a couple ride-alongs. I love it. I enjoy, helping people. So you're right. Without preparation, it's not the right job. It's not something where you just submit a resume and there you go. You're a cop. It took me 2 years to get hired. Two years.
Took me a
academy,
year.
Academy, the application, and then, so it's not just handing in a resume.
Yeah. And great advice about ride along. I don't know how popular ride along programs are right now, but yeah, I mean, depending on where you're at, but I think, you know, yeah, you're exactly right. Ride along with the officers, ask them questions. Just don't sit there and dig, you know, ask them questions, command staff, you know, what's the culture like, you know, all that other stuff. It's very important, as you know.
Yep.
Now let's shift now, brother. In the intro, I talked about, you know, you being a retired Leo. I want to talk about leftist systems because I love, like I said, I love having guests on that are, you know, former law enforcement or military, and they have this entrepreneurial spirit and they go on, they leave the profession, but they keep giving back. And that's what you're doing, brother. Talk about leftist systems.
Sure. So I actually started the company while I was still active in law enforcement. I was an FTO supervisor and I was a pretty big agency. We had about 100 trainees a year. New trainees and a tremendous amount of paperwork. And in Florida, they got to keep your paperwork. You're long dead and they still have your paperwork because of the public records law. So a tremendous amount of, they actually have storage room full of paperwork with people that don't even work for the agency anymore. So I thought there's got to be something better than paper. And I came up with a software application. Now I'm not smart enough to write my own software. I'm not a coder. Mm-hmm. I'm the subject matter expert, so to speak. But so I hired the much smarter people than myself and said, hey, here's what I, how the system has to work. Now, I didn't want to make the same mistake that I think some vendors do in the sense that they're extremely smart and they come up with great products that cops don't know how to use.
Yeah.
Because most of us, and maybe you're the exception, we're not the super techie people, right?
We
know how to use Zoom now, but it probably took us a while to figure that one out. But, you know, we want something that's user-friendly. So if I don't use software for 3 months, it shouldn't take me 2 weeks to figure out how to fill out a daily observation report. So I made it very user-friendly. I started out the first agency. I actually gave it away because, you know, everybody's asking, so who's using your system? I just started like in 2006. So I gave the first one away for free. They used it, they loved it. And from there on, I kind of built it. And because I work 5 days on, 5 days off, I kind of built my business on my five off days. You know, over the years, retired after the 20, at that time, my business just exploded. We're now in 44 different states. We have 10 different applications on one platform. And one of the other things that I remember, my agency, we had 15 different software programs. You had something for use of force to keep your training, all these different things, but they didn't communicate with each other. So we actually have a platform of 10 different applications that communicate with each other. You don't have to memorize 10 different passwords to go in and out. You just very easily switch back and forth. And the advantage for the chain of command is they can easily use an early warning system that it comes with to see if there's maybe an issue that an officer has. You know, as you know, most people think, well, you're the bad cop or you're not. No, it could be that you've never had any issues and all of a sudden there's one incident, you pull over this one car and boom, somebody got killed. You've never been in trouble before. No early warning system in the world is going to predict that one. Mm-hmm. Now, you have some officers, and I guess George Floyd, the officer with George Floyd, that would have been an example that should have triggered something where the supervision would have said, whoa, let's take a look at this officer and see what's going on. Does he need additional training? Should he not be a cop? You know, does he have some problems at the house? And it's very important to have a very good system in place to do that, and that's what I, you know, what we have.
So they can, you leftist systems, you guys do everything. I mean, everything from tracking use of force, I mean, training programs. Uh-huh. I mean, it encompasses a lot, right?
Yeah, so it's really one soft. I'd like to compare to Office 365 because most people are familiar with that. You know how it comes with Outlook, it comes with Word and Exit, you know, all these things. Well, you might not use all of the applications, but you use most of them. Mm-hmm. And you can very easily, you know, access them. So we have a training track that's anything from an academy software that in turn links with your FTO software, and that in turn links with your training records management, in-service training, you know, de-escalation, bias-based profile training, all of that. And the advantage is because they communicate with each other, what generally happens with an FTO program, you might identify that a trainee has some issues, but maybe that was already identified in the academy, but that is not being communicated. So the FTO has no idea. So they see something and say, oh, okay, here's a problem. well, maybe that was already identified in the academy. Maybe a trainee made a, or recruit in the academy made some off-color remarks, mm-hmm. you know, their notes made. Well, now all of a sudden, the way he talks to, you know, minorities or somebody else, and you know, the FTO goes, hey, wait a minute, that's not cool. Well, he had the same problem in the academy. So being able to link those two together is very important. And the same applies to training. Now, the other high liability part of the software suite is use of force, vehicle pursuits, internal affairs, vehicle damage, employee complaints, but also commendations. It shouldn't be just negative. So, you know, that allows for citizens to make pay somebody a compliment, like, hey, you know, an officer, you know, helped my wife yesterday who broke down. They changed the tire. Thank you very much. Or, hey, an officer pulled me over. I thought he was kind of rude to me. So you have to be able to, wow. to you know, do both. But yeah. So that's the high liability side of it. But they all connect.
And I love it because it just seems like software it's all encompassing. It covers just a wide variety. I mean, I remember looking at, you know, as a commander, we were looking at IA software, you know,
yep.
internal affairs. But that's all it did.
Correct.
That's all it did. You know, and correct. It's like, yep. I love what you're talking about because it seems like there's just so many different parts of this. Like you said, it's like Office 365. You might not use every component of it, but you're going to use most of it.
Exactly. Especially now, you know, one of the big trends and with this past election, who knows what law enforcement is going to do next year because of, you know, reforms. But one of the, you know, a couple of things, of course, they're talking about additional training, particular bias, pace profiling, use of force type of training, right? That has to be monitored to ensure exactly. that whatever the state or the government's going to be required, that each officer meets that criteria. So I'm not sure how somebody does that on paper, you know, if you have a spreadsheet or something to make sure that's being kept track of. But another big component of that, of course, is use of force. And you might be familiar with the FBI actually has a national program, and it's asking for agencies to volunteer three types of use of force incidents. If somebody was seriously injured mm-hmm. During an incident, somebody was killed by police, or if somebody just discharged a weapon. But how do you get this data to the FBI if you have everything on paper?
You just hand it to them.
You know, yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's a lot of duplication of effort.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
with our system, you can actually put it in, you know, you fill out your use of force report, and then that you'll be able to transmit that data to the FBI wow. seamlessly.
It's like the agencies do with like UCRs or NIBRS or anything
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. NIBRS, the new big buzzword, right? NIBRS, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And I was talking to you, Brian. I mean, it amazes me, and I'm going to kind of ding my agency, my old agency. I mean, I just to drive me nuts how much paperwork we have, and we have all this great technology out there like Lefta. And why aren't we utilizing that? Because you might pay for it at the front end, but you're gonna have a good ROI at the back end.
Absolutely. You're right. And you know what the cost is? You'd be surprised. You know, this agency is spending a tremendous amount of money on a bus. What do you call it? Command. You know, the mobile command centers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the big, huge yeah. vans and stuff like that.
Exactly. Now, how often are you going to use that compared to actually keeping track of all your internal processes, right? And one of the other big, where everything is going in the country now is with bias-based profiling. Mm-hmm. They want to make sure that officers do not stop individuals based on, you know, any biases that they might have. Hey, I just pulled you over because you look Hispanic or look Asian, you look African-American, yeah. whatever, right? But that's also very difficult to track. Now, in California, they've been doing this for a couple of years now. And it's actually called the RIPA, R-I-P-A rule. And basically, it requires every law enforcement agency in the state of California to submit every time they detain somebody, whether it's you pull somebody over for a running red light, they cannot leave. You're kind of detaining them. So you have to submit stop data to the government, and how they're doing it, and they kind of staggered it. So the biggest agencies already participate, and then every year by January, the next couple of hundred, depending on the size, mm-hmm. have to submit data. So, so we built something with DOJ where it automatically submits that data. But we actually went a step beyond that because numbers are just that, they're numbers. Mm-hmm. If you don't interpret them correctly, I could tell you, hey, listen, we have 93%, it's crime-free. That sounds great. Well, if you say, oh my God, you know, crime is 7%, that might sound negative. So it depends on how you can yeah. use numbers either way.
Yeah.
So we actually have a patent on something that correlates an officer's traffic or stops with a citizen to the demographics of the area they're patrolling. So the perfect example would be the area that I was over when I before I retired. I'm guessing was probably about 80% African American. Mm-hmm. So if somebody would have came to me and said, "Hey Brian, you know your officer here, you know 80% of the people he's pulling over happen to be African American," well, that would make sense.
It would make sense based on the demographic.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if the neighborhood is 10% black, yeah, and you have an officer that is 99% of the traffic stops are African American,
whoa, yeah,
exactly. But so you have to, numbers alone by themselves doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
you have to take the totality of the circumstances to kind of see, hey, that's an issue, or saying, nope, it's totally okay. And sometimes people are strictly by numbers. You know, it sounds yeah bad. Hey, police killed, you know, 1,000 people a year. Well,
but you got to look beyond the numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's often, just like politics, you know, they use certain numbers and make it, you know, Republicans use one number, Democrats use the other number, and everybody spins it differently. So numbers have to be looked at in a holistic approach.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how did you come up with, I was going to ask you, I'm glad I remembered. How did you come up with LEFTA systems?
Well, like I said, we had the problem with paperwork, you know, uh-huh, with paper. So if you fill out a daily observation report or something, by the time, you know, I got it in my, somebody put it in my box and I checked my box and I corrected it and I put it back in the box. And the next day he had to pick it. It just took forever. Software is instantaneous. Somebody could call me up. Hey, Sarge, can you look at this? Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of how it started back then. Yeah, now we're in 44 different states and doing
but how
well
did you come up? How did you come up with the name?
Oh, the name. Okay, the name. Well, it's actually
it's kind of interesting.
Oh yeah, it stands for Law Enforcement Field Training Application.
Oh, okay. I did not see that in my research. Oh, that's
and
pretty
you know
cool.
What? And I tell you what, every time, you know, every software program that we have has like an acronym or a name. So for example, our field investigation tool that also does profiling is called PASS, P-A-S-S.
Okay.
Profiling Accountability Software Solution. So I'm just, you know, sleepless nights. I'm just figuring out, okay, we're going to have another product. What can we name it? So it kind of makes sense.
Well, that makes sense. Cops and military, you know that we love acronyms. You know, we got to come up with an acronym for everything.
Yep. Yep. You're right. Yep.
My God, 250 clients coast to coast. Amazing growth. So if somebody's interested, oh, I'm sorry. What did you say?
400.
400. My God.
Yes,
okay. Correct. Yeah. Thank you. So if somebody is interesting, if you're interested, and I don't know why agencies out there wouldn't be interested in what you're offering, Brian, so how does it work? They come and you do a demo or what?
Absolutely. So all they have to do, they can go to our website, which is leftasystems.org, and just ask for a demo. It's a virtual demo.
Oh, wow.
Now everything nowadays virtual anyway, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah. It takes about 60 minutes. We'll walk you through the program, answer any questions you have. You know, we'll be glad to give you any references if you want. I mean, we have agencies from the biggest one is Houston PD, I think 6,000 sworn. And we have some that have 12 sworn. So the size doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that fits for any police department. They'd like to automate their internal processes.
Yeah. Jeez. I wish this stuff was around when I was a young cop.
We didn't have computers.
Yeah, true. Our computers were our hands and we didn't have anything. It's amazing.
Little flip phones.
Yeah. It's amazing what these kids have now. But Brian Selzer, thank you for coming on the show, brother. Anything we can do.
Thank you for having me.
Anything we can do to help you in your success. You're already successful, but anything we can do, please reach out to me, brother. I'd love to help any way I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Everything. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, absolutely. And you're always welcome back. Everything we talked about, folks, is going to be linked up in the show notes, including how to contact Brian, as well as contact his amazing company, Lefta Systems. Sir, thank you for your service. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. You be safe.
All right. Bye. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.